so far, these past few days have been beautiful. The weather has cooperated. There's not been a single drop of rain. And the sun has been shining so beautifully. It's been an incredible Sukkot. Unfortunately, in some communities, it's not so beautiful. The weather can be so freezing cold that it's difficult for a person to be able to sit in a sukkah. And I vividly remember when I was the rabbi in Bangor, Maine, I used to have a broom in my sukkah that on Chol HaMoed I would bang the schach to be able to remove the snow that had fallen on top of my schach the night before. Some places, it's difficult to sit in the sukkah. In fact, Halacha tells us, mitzta'er, if you're in too much pain, it's too difficult, patur min sukkah. You do not have to actually be in that sukkah. If you're in Antarctica, it's freezing temperatures, you do not have to be in a sukkah. Mitzta'er, patur min sukkah. A question was presented to Rav Henkin. Is it necessary for that person who will not have to ever sit in a sukkah because they're in pain, they're mitzta'er? Does that person need to build a sukkah before the holiday? And it seems to be a very simple answer. Why would anyone need to build a sukkah if after all you're not going to use it? But unbelievably, Rav Henkin paskins that it's necessary for that very person to build a sukkah. And probably the message is that although that individual will not benefit from actually fulfilling the mitzvah of dwelling in a sukkah during Sukkot, there must be some added value. There must be something beneficial in its very construction. It's probably beneficial for most people, but for me, it's not so easy. I'm not the greatest builder in the world. In fact, I remember once purchasing a swing set for my children, and the salesperson said, "Don't worry, it's easy to assemble, it'll only take an hour." Well, needless to say, after about 10 hours and a whole lot of frustration, I gave up and it just never got finished. So when it comes to the holiday of Sukkot and when it comes to building a sukkah, you can imagine even the quote-unquote easy to assemble ones are not so easy for me to build. Therefore, because of this, I was always bothered. I was bothered, even though I have no knowledge in construction, why there is an actual halacha that states the order of how to build a sukkah. That it's necessary that you must first construct the walls, and then only afterwards the schach, the roof. But if for whatever reason you would somehow be able to put on the schach, the roof, and maybe have some poles holding it up, and then putting the walls around it, it's not a valid sukkah. Tase v'lo mina asui. When you make your sukkah, halacha states you must first build the walls, then the schach. Now, again, I'm no expert, but I have two difficulties with this halacha. First of all, why do you need to tell me this halacha? Anyone who knows what they're doing, even me, I know that you have to first build a structure, a foundation, the walls, and then obviously then you put on the roof. Who in their right mind is going to first put on a roof without any walls around it? Why do you need to even tell me that law? But furthermore, imagine that a person did that. Put the roof on, then the walls. You can look at that sukkah, the final product, and say, it looks pretty good. What then is really the difference? If you can somehow managed to put on the roof before the walls. Why isn't that okay? Why do we say Tasavlum and Asui that it's necessary to first put on the walls? What message is that coming to teach? We mentioned before that the very first person to ever construct a sukkah was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, the last of our avos, was the first one to build a sukkah. Why? Why didn't Avraham build one? Why didn't Yitzchak? Was it because they're not such great builders like me? I don't think so. I believe the answer is if we study the life of Yaakov, we'll understand that Yaakov and only Yaakov Avinu represents a sukkah. By studying the context of who Yaakov was and where he was going, what he was to be, we can understand the message and the symbolism of what a sukkah is. So Yaakov began his life as a man in a sheltered environment. He was, as the Torah says in Ish Tam, a perfect man. But Yosheb Ohalim, he always stayed inside. He never had the opportunities to be exposed to anything other than Torah and mitzvos. He never saw anything but, except at a certain point of his life, he no longer was able to be a Yosheb Ohalim. He was forced at a point to leave his home due to Esav, his brother, who wished to murder him. And therefore he traveled and he went to Lavan's house. But before he did that, he made a pit stop. He stopped off in the yeshiva, in the study hall of Shem Ve'ever. And the question, Yaakov Avinu, who was able to learn by the greatest people in the world, his father Yitzchak, his grandfather Avraham Avinu, what more could Yaakov have learned? What did the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever have to offer that his father and grandfather could not? Explains Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that Yaakov had tremendous Torah knowledge, but he had Torah knowledge of a person who was Yosheb Ohalim, who was not experienced, who did not see the outside world. Yaakov needed to learn from the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever how to learn to avoid the potential negative influences of a Lavan Harasha, of the outside world. And who was the person? Who were the individuals who could teach this? No one greater than Shem and Ever. Ever was a man who lived in the Dor HaFlaga, in the generation of the dispersion, where people built towers in order to be able to wage war against God. Ever lived in that generation, but yet he was able to create an imaginary barrier to separate him from the corruption of the society around him. Shem also would be a tremendous asset for Yaakov Avinu to learn from. Shem was the son of Noach. Shem lived through the Dor HaMabul, a generation of Rishoyim, of corrupt people. And he was put also, not in an imaginary barrier, but he had a tremendous separation between him and the rest of the world. And that separation was a box, a teva, the ark. Shem and Ever were able to remain righteous tzaddikim despite constantly being around negative influences. And Yaakov realizing that he was going out, he was vayetze. He was a person that needed to be able to learn how to be able to build just like that teva, just like that ark, a solid barrier, a wall between him and the negative influences of society. And therefore, in order for Yaakov to be able to live in the house of Laban, and to be able to potentially grow spiritually in Ruchnius, and to be able to dwell in the presence of the Shekhinah, it was necessary first to create that wall, that solid barrier, so that it should not be ever breached by the Rishayim, by the wicked influences of society. And this is why Yaakov built a sukkah. Because Yaakov is a sukkah in its symbolism. The walls can be made out of anything. The Talmud tells us that the walls of the sukkah may even be made from mechitzo shel barzel, solid iron, metal, solid strong brick walls, for the purpose of a sukkah to be able to block us out from the outside. Whatever means necessary, whatever it takes, these are the walls of the sukkah. But when it comes to the roof, the schach, which represents the ananei hakavod, spirituality, godliness, we do not have any barrier. We will not allow any separation from God, from ruchnius, from spirituality. We must allow that which is above, the shemayim, to shine down upon us, and for us to be able to gaze up and to look at the stars above. The symbolism, therefore, of the sukkah is more than just protection from the sun, the elements of the harsh wilderness. The sukkah is to protect us from all negativity of the outside world. And this is why Yaakov built the sukkah immediately after he encountered his brother Esav. Although he had no choice but to interact with Esav HaRasha, and sometimes we also need to interact with people who are corrupt, who are wrong, we must immediately build our walls. We must build our barrier and not allow them to get too close so as to influence us. By building those strong walls, that will keep them out. In conclusion, this may be the reason for the order of building the sukkah as well. First, it's necessary, Tassel and Asui, build those walls. And then only afterwards may we potentially build the schach. Because we cannot expect to ever strive higher, to become spiritual individuals, if we are still tovel v'sheretz biyado, we're holding on to that negativity. Rather, as the pasuk says, sur mira, get rid of the negativity first. Disconnect yourself from it. Build those walls. Then, and only then, v'asi tov, then you can do good. Then you can aspire to reach all the way to the Shemayim, to connect to Ruchnius, and to earn the fulfillment of the verse, Ufros Aleinu Sukkah Shalmecha, an earning of Hashem's eternal protection. Good job.